It's Helping Hand, weekly feature, HPRR, and every Friday afternoon, Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to the disabled and others among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we are privileged to learn about the Waikiki Health, which is Waikiki Health Center, you may know. According to their website, everyone is welcome to receive quality health care. They've been providing compassionate healing and care since 1967. They've got a number of ways that they can help support the most vulnerable through medical and social services provided at a number of locations. Our guest to tell us more, welcoming back to Helping Hand CEO Sheila Beckham from Waikiki Health. Good to see you.
Glad to be here.
Thank you. And we, for some, they hear the name. That's a name you hear in the community. And maybe they're unfamiliar, though, with the broad scope of services, actually, that you offer and where the locations are. So before we get into other aspects like the mobile outreach aspect of your work, which is outstanding, talk about the different locations and what's offered.
Okay, our oldest location is on Ohua Avenue, and that is just the Ohua Clinic. And we offer comprehensive HIV services, and we offer comprehensive medical, behavioral health, optometry, and a lot of education, like tobacco treatment, medical nutrition therapy, health education, things like that.
All at the Ohua.
Yes.
And then the other locations.
So the next largest clinic is Makahiki. Mm. And that is the one that was built and opened in 2014. And we have gotten so busy that we are actually, we had to move our administration offices out.
Right.
And we are adding 11 exam rooms.
I read that.
Up on the third floor. And so that also has preventive and primary care, behavioral health, but they also have dental. So we opened the dental clinic there.
So it has the other services plus dental?
Not all the services, but primary services like behavioral health and primary care.
And where is that one?
Across Mo'ili'ili Library.
Okay.
On Makahiki Way.
Right. Okay. Now I know where that one is. And yet there's another one that you have.
There are many. So our old Caravan Clinic, which is still going to be called Caravan, used to be doing primarily outreach and social and medical services to people that were homeless around the entire island of Oahu. And we have been in operation since 1987 and receiving state funds since 2002, but this year they didn't feel we had enough experience. So we elected to, we already had two exam rooms there, and we did medical, and we do medical outreach a bit, but we're growing that. And we have some people that are homeless and some people that are insured, and they're enjoying the changes that we're putting in place there.
And where is that one?
That is on Waialae Avenue.
Okay.
Larry's Auto Air or whatever is right there, and Saul's Lock and Key. I'm not doing an advertisement for them.
No, I understand. So that's the Kaimuki, basically.
Yes. And they have behavioral health, substance abuse treatment, and medical services now.
And you have still more brick-and-mortar locations?
We do. We have the PATH Clinic, which is located on the Salvation Army campus.
Mm.
And this is primarily women who are pregnant and have had substance abuse problems. And so we provide, you know, OBGYN services and, you know, drug treatment. And then we also see them in primary care, and we will provide pediatric services to their kids.
Wow. All at that one location.
At the PATH Clinic. And we do a lot of health education, tobacco treatment as well.
And where is that Salvation Army?
That is 21st Street in Kaimuki.
Okay, so second Kaimuki location.
It's right by Kahala. So, you know, it's kind of there on the border.
What's the fifth location?
That is our youth outreach clinic. And we operate that in partnership with Hale Kipa.
Mm.
And we've been doing that since 1989. So these are youth, 14 up to 22, who have, for various reasons, become homeless.
Wow.
Sometimes they are runaways because of abusive situations in their homes.
14 to 22.
Yes. sometimes they are kicked out. And so we provide medical services, social services, education. We have kids that are in a GED program. We do job training. And a few of these guys have gone to college.
Wow. So that's a real success story.
It's amazing.
Kids that have been through a lot of traumatic early year stuff and turning that around.
And there, many of them are now trying to bring their younger siblings with them. So we have to work with DOE and, you know, any parents that are involved.
You mean into the clinic?
Yeah, but they have to be there at a separate time. So, but they want help with homework and they want...
But that's what you mean when you say bring them. They want to bring their kid, their siblings in for service.
Yes.
That's cool. So they realize there's an advantage to that, and they're trying to break the cycle.
Yeah, I think so.
For family members that they love and care about. Yeah, that's pretty humbling stuff. Puts a lot of makes your own problems seem kind of small whenever you talk to somebody like you. I'm counting 5 locations so far.
So on our 6th one is an admin site. Since we had to move admin out, they have a 4,000 square feet on McCully and King. Okay. So it's close enough to Makahiki. And then, of course, we have the medical, mobile medical unit.
So a total of 6 brick and mortar locations, plus you guys are mobile.
Yes, but we also still have Next Step Shelter.
7.
So Next Step Shelter has an exam room right now because the rules have changed with the state. We're not providing medical care because we're supposed to be getting people in and out within 60 days.
And that's the one in Kaka'ako?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So 7 total brick and mortar locations, including administration.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's good to know. I knew I was going to get to the bottom of it. That was one of my personal missions on this, was because I was like, we're going to do a real good overview and learn about all their locations.
I think there's a lot people don't know.
And that's exactly why I wanted to start there, because there are. If we did a quiz of our population, I don't think that everyone would know that there are a total of 7 locations, plus the mobile outreach. Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned it about folks, I'm just paraphrasing, some people come for service there that are not on the edge of desperation. There are, you guys provide services to a wider audience. And in terms of that wider audience, who should seek services from Waikiki Health?
Anybody and everybody. We have professors, we have physicians, we have people very high in the government with experience there. So we have an amazing, we have, you know, just a huge, wonderful, nice mix of different people. So primarily Makahiki and Ohua were the ones providing services not only to homeless, but to these folks. But now that we've done a lot of, you know, renovation at the caravan site, we're finding other people that are coming.
And the caravan site is...
The Waialae.
The Waialae,
yes.
One. That's the 3rd one on our list, I believe, that we covered. You've got so many services that you... But, and like some of these other places, and you correct me if I have this wrong, but for Shriners, for example, when people go to Shriners and they have insurance and they can be billed, it enables them, by doing that, to then use some of that money to defray the cost of providing services for people who don't have any money or resources. Is that a similar way that it functions with you guys?
We try to get everybody who qualifies onto Medicaid so that we have some revenue coming in. For the time being, there's a little money that comes from the cigarette tax, which will very light for uninsured folks. Now that is supposed to disappear this next year, and then it'll go into the general fund, we believe, and be competitive. But yes, we try to do that. We have amazing donors, and we get a small amount of money from the federal government to do the medical outreach, not social services.
And before we get into some of the outreach activities, which are really something else, and it's impressive what you guys offer in terms of bringing medical care to those in need who are on the streets and in different places around the island. The people who have no insurance, living in poverty, need medical care, you want them to come to you. This is a good place for them to come.
Absolutely, at all of our sites. And we will start off doing a sliding fee scale. So they will pay a very nominal fee for dental, medical, for any of, you know, behavioral health, for any of those services. And then we will try to get them on insurance so that we can actually have a little bit more revenue.
Now, we have had different staff members in over the years on Helping Hand. Jason and Michelle were previously on discussing, in fact, the invaluable resource of the Caravan Clinic, which we've mentioned already. But the Caravan Clinic, some might be surprised to know, includes full medical and behavioral health services. If we can, let's shine the light on this unique way that you guys assist those in need, the tools and resources it provides, including the MMU.
Okay, so because the only funding we had for outreach was through the state, and we do not have that any longer, we have turned our focus, which is our primary job is medical. And so we've turned our focus to improving and expanding medical service, especially for patients who use the emergency room at the hospitals for daily primary care. So we're really working with nurse care coordinators to get that turned around. And we have slots at the Caravan Clinic. Now, we don't have any staff other than the medical staff, but we are going out to a couple of substance abuse treatment facilities every week. And then we are going to be going out a couple times a month in the MMU to places that, we have former patients.
And does that mean, are you taking those to homeless camps?
We're going to some of the larger areas where people don't leave and they can't come in to see us.
What's the largest one that you guys go to?
I don't know. I really don't know. I used to go out with the MMU just so that I could be knowledgeable, but they've changed so much since the sweeps. It's hard to know.
Yeah, those are, that does add its own unique wrinkle. We could have our own segment just on the sweeps of the homeless, which some in the federal government have said could be unconstitutional and don't really follow the pathway that experts on a federal level advise dealing with people who don't have homes. But again, that's its own topic. MMU serves clients at the Salvation Army ATS Center in Hinamauka on a weekly basis.
Yes.
And so are there any specific aspects of that you want to mention?
I think primarily that we send out a physician or a nurse practitioner, and they do, we have an exam room on the MMU so that they do full physicals and, any kind of medical care that's needed.
Could you use volunteer medical staff? How does it work in terms of, because it seems like such a noble mission to do that. And there are so many talented people who get involved in stuff like that, even go to different islands in the South Pacific and help out people in a similar kind of way. Are you looking for people like that to be involved, or is that not how you get your medical people?
We pay our medical people. It may not be what the big hospitals pay, but, we have people that are satisfied with doing that mission. The thing is that we have to provide malpractice, and you can't do total volunteer. You have to make some fun, money. Where we can use some volunteers, I mean, every site can use volunteers, but we used to have a mail service for 900 clients. And then because, we no longer have outreach staff, I can't take the doctor and say, hey, can you give out mail today? Because it takes hours.
Right.
So what we're doing is encouraging the people that have come to us for mail to become our patients. And we will do mail service for them. So I think that one of the ways people could help is to volunteer giving out mail. I mean, there are, at every single site, there are many things. Sometimes people bring their kids in, playing with the kids.
Yeah, so what you're really illustrating is there's a huge volunteer need, not so much in the way I was specifically asking, mm-hmm. which is medical personnel and people with medical experience, but you're basically saying at all of these multitude of locations, 7 in all. You have a lot of ways that people, and without needing a lot of skills, someone can step right in and perform an invaluable service that helps you help out people who are really need a break.
We also have a program called Friendly Neighbors. And so Friendly Neighbors program uses only volunteers. It has a coordinator, and they go into the homes of frail elderly that can't get out and go to the store and that need company. And so that's another place we can always use volunteers.
Friendly Neighbors. So let's hear that. Friendly Neighbors with an S, yeah?
Yes.
That's a great program, and that's exactly the kind of thing I like to hear about. So this is offered, that staff goes from any of these 7 locations to go out and do that?
There's one person that coordinates it, and she gets the only people that she has working with her are volunteers. And for a while, she had some of the youth, you know, go again. She's there with them, and they go, and they provide whatever kind of companionship or errands or whatever these people need.
So if somebody is alone, they're elderly, they're living in a home, what are the range of services that could be, what are the ways, because a lot of stuff can pile up. They could be disabled. They could just be old and they can't get around so well. They could have a combination of those things. They're impoverished to some degree. What if you want to shine a light on the kinds of different, I'm trying to paint a picture for people in need that uh-huh. could be listening, because there's a lot of people who listen who are kind of invisible listeners, meaning they're in their home and they may not get out much, and this is exactly the kind of thing I want to try to get out there. So speak to them specifically what they might need, what you could help them with.
So I think, you know, somebody can go do errands. If you can't go out, someone can go and do your marketing for you. Someone can do light housekeeping for you. But I think, you know, a number of different chores like that. I think one of the most rewarding is just the relationship, talking and listening to the people.
Socialization, invaluable.
Invaluable, exactly.
No, I totally get that. And that isolation that comes through disability is a primary recurring theme on this program that anyone who listens to Helping Hand knows that I talk about. So that is, and I couldn't agree more with you. So in addition, I just was pointing out, that is a valuable one that people may in fact be at the top of their list. I just look at some of those other ones, and those are really important, and they're hard to find. Someone who can do the house, any kind of housekeeping, who can do errands. That stuff is in really important. So if you're elderly, if you have a loved one who's on their own, that's something you can call Waikiki Health and say, I wanted to hear more about the Friendly Neighbors mm-hmm. program. I have someone I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about myself. I can't get around. And this is a great resource. And how often can someone who is in this position ask for these services? How often can they be provided to them?
This can go on for years if they have somebody, you know, who's volunteering. Chances are that, you know, some of these are students. And so we have to work with the schedule of the volunteers. But right. Our current coordinator has really built, you know, a large cadre of people who can volunteer and want to go in and help others.
I mean, how often can you receive the services if you're that person in need? Once a week? Twice a week? How does it work?
I don't believe that there's any limit.
Quota. Huh.
But the limit only comes from the fact that there may not be enough people
to provide it.
Yeah.
I get it. But that's great. So that's a huge thing. That's really, because sometimes they're like, we can do this much of that.
And, yeah.
Because this is a very important, these are just the tough issues of being a physical vessel in this world. And eventually you get old and the body you've got, it's like the roll of the dice, whether or not you're still going to be able to have anything functioning, your mind, your eyes, your ears, your legs, your bladder, who knows what is going to go next. So this is a really powerful aspect of your service I don't think I've ever gotten to hear about. And that's why we went to the top today, so that we get the heavy-duty information load here. You mentioned it. You're expanding the Makahiki Mo'ili'ili location to accommodate the increase in patients. 11 new exam rooms, including rooms for behavioral health and care coordination, are provided there. That means you already had, did you have a demand or
we have a demand.
That you're meeting.
We can't, when someone calls in, we have same day appointments. Every medical provider has same day appointments available, but they fill up the minute that the phone starts ringing. And so this offers additional opportunities. We have different expertise. You know, we are hiring somebody who has some surgical experience, and we really want to just be able to be there for everybody that we can.
And how heavy is the medicine that you're providing? I mean, surgery, is that what you're doing on these sites?
They're minor surgery. So things that could be done in an exam room. But we also have two pharmacies as well, one at Makahiki and one at Ahua. So we are able to, you know, make sure that they get the medications that they need right on site at a discounted rate.
We've talked a little bit about it, but the homeless epidemic, it is it's an international news story. It has reframed the branding of Hawaii to some degree. It hasn't stopped the onslaught of tourists at record levels. So obviously the state is still, or people in the state are still making a lot of money off of visitors coming here. But while that's happening, we have the single most severe homeless epidemic anywhere in the richest, most successful, most powerful country on earth. Where are you guys? What are some things that you want to mention about what you're doing or concerns, anything that relates to homelessness that's on your mind as it pertains to Waikiki Health?
I think the first thing I want to say is, just because someone's homeless doesn't mean that they don't have the same feelings that we all have. Mm. And, you know, it goes a long way to just, you know, welcome someone, sometimes give someone a hug, just, you know, say something nice, you know, just get a conversation going. So, I mean, to me, that's the first step. Beyond that, we do have our Next Step shelter. And prior to February, we were able to accommodate 230 clients there, families and singles and, you know, couples. The new regulations now say that we can have only the number of clients that we had to expand our cubicles, and we had to then, we can no longer have families and, you know, adults.
Are they, so how is the housing work there? They're in their own, when you say cubicles, they have their own little space? Or?
Yes, they have their own space, and they have their own, like, lockers. And previously, again, we were doing a lot of robust job training. And so now we have a separate contract for job training, but we have to get people out quickly. And we have to soon get out the families with children. And unless there's another shelter that can take them, and many of the shelters, you know, we're not able to do family, adults, and, you know, families. To me, it's a crime. It's really...
You mean what you're saying is, without saying it, when there's a time limit and they're back on the street.
It's very possible. So, and I mean, right now we have only the first couple of months of this, you know, fiscal year to be able to have them all together until we try to find somewhere for them. So we are trying to work with Senator Espero to try to go back to some of the old rules. We believe there should be accountability, but we want to allow, you know, families to be in there.
That's a real tough situation.
When we look at the amount of money that you have to make to sustain a two-bedroom apartment, it's about $17 an hour for somebody. And most of our clients can't make that much money. And they have children. And so all of the affordable housing that's going up, it's not going to help them. So it's not a permanent solution.
No, it's a huge crisis. There's no question about it. It's I live in Waikiki. I couldn't imagine going somewhere on vacation to see that. Wouldn't be where I wouldn't. I just wouldn't do it. I don't even know how to describe it. It didn't look like this in 2002 when I arrived here, or I wouldn't have moved here. And it's not a slight against the people. It's just, it's chaotic. You go out at night. You have to really watch what you're doing. You feel I'm speaking with God himself listening. I mean, I walk out at night. There's an hour I won't go out after. Which was different. When I moved here, I could have gone out 2 a.m. and walked around Waikiki. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, I don't understand. It's totally incongruous to me that these enormous high rises are going up and like somebody's going to come stay at that, and they walk out and they can't even go to the corner store without running into who knows what. And it's not just homeless. It's a frightening reality where you could be victimized by any number of things that are out there. I feel for us.
But the people that are buying these multi-million dollar units, they can probably have somebody go pick up stuff for them.
Right. And the other thing is, actually, the people who are buying these multi-million dollar units are then renting them as vacation units to tourists.
And many of them aren't from Hawaii.
Exactly. I mean, nobody's living down there. These places that they build, a lot of them are empty, or they're not really going to be like the Trump building, which was considered a residence when it went up. That's how it was sold. There are four residents that live in there, according to whatever newspaper or some news source said that, because I've seen it's four or five. I mean, it's way less than 10 people actually live in it. And the Ritz is called residences, but I don't know that there are going to be any residents. So, there are people who buy it aren't going to actually experience what's going on here. It's just a strange... I don't understand it. It's above my pay grade to understand, but I really feel for Waikiki because it doesn't have the vibe it once had, and I feel for these people because I see them and I wonder, what is going on? You know, it really makes you appreciate having a roof over your head.
It really does.
It's like a humbling, every day is another opportunity to be brought down to your knees. Yeah, it's like a mile and a half walk from here to there. And mm-hmm. I never know what I know what I'm going to see, but it's always heartbreaking.
I know it is.
It's not like what you would want to see when you pay a lot of money to go on vacation. Oh, I'm going to see the Duomo and walk around in Firenze. And it's going to, you see trouble other places, but it's kind of here. You just like glitzy buildings and trouble. There isn't really like.
And there's more here. So right. That's the hard part.
Right. There is. Yeah, it's something else. We talked about some of the ways people can volunteer, and you really opened it up to just about anybody, the way that it works at your numerous locations that you've got. But things that we haven't, thinking of what we've mentioned, and then other ways people can help you that we have not covered, it could be making cash contributions to the organization. It could be donating supplies that you may need. Maybe it's hygienic items for folks who don't have anything that you can distribute. Maybe it is more tangible objects, like when we were talking to Jason Asparo talking about the vehicle. Maybe it's help with the vehicle. Maybe it's a new vehicle. Maybe it's places for the vehicle to be parked. Maybe it's mechanics who could work on it when it has trouble and do it pro bono. Lawyers, you said you don't need medical things, but when I try to just put seed your head, you know best, but the floor is yours. What are ways that this incredibly affluent and in some cases very generous audience could rally behind you?
I have a few things. One is we do have legal aid coming out to the caravan site, and we're in the process of working out what they call medical legal partnership at Ohua.
What's that?
That is when attorneys come and they'll work for 2 half days and work with people. Again, not like, any kind of, problem that people were arrested and this and that, but just getting documents, I don't know if you've gone and renewed your driver's license, but it's horrendous for me. And we're talking about people that don't have,
meaning it's horrendous bill. Because you need to provide
you
a bunch of
so
stuff.
Many documents. And so I had to go home 3 times to get all the things that they needed. Lightly used clothing and shoes would be great. We also can use backpacks for people. Anybody that's homeless needs a backpack. Baby things for our PATH site. And pregnancy, maternity clothes, that would also work. And I'm going to put a plug in for our 50-year anniversary coming up in April. On the 22nd. And so we are going to be hosting a beautiful dinner and honoring some amazing doctors, 3 doctors that have helped us. Kapono will play, and we're going to dance for 2 hours. So that, part of the money for that, more than half of it, goes for, Waikiki Health and as a donation.
Where is that?
It's going to be at the Hilton Hawaiian Village, and they can get tickets online.
You can already do that at
yes,
Waikiki
you can.
Health.
Sure can. So I had to say that.
Of course you do. And that's an important thing to do. That's your benefit fundraising event, which will...
It's the first one we've ever had.
And it is a fundraiser.
Yeah.
So when you buy tickets for the... And what are tickets going for?
$150.
That's $150 towards doing battle to help out people in all these situations mm-hmm. that we're talking about. But otherwise, you mentioned the clothes, the shoes, the backpacks, baby materials... And if somebody is listening and they are like, well, they didn't mention, but I actually have access to the following kinds of supplies, I'm just going to go out on a limb, but you'll correct me. you'd like them to call and make that available to you, and you'll decide if you can use that.
Yes, and I think it's a great idea to have them call, because a lot of people who have had a spouse pass away, they want to give us all of the D-pens from open bags. They want to give us the little commodes and a lot of things. We don't have anywhere to put them is the hard part. Crutches, you know, we've had, you know, wonderful people donating those things, but we have nowhere to store them. So I think call first and check it out. The shelter may have, next set may have more space.
And do you sometimes have a recommendation on a facility that would be a good home for those items?
We have a lot of colleagues in their partner agencies that can use some of that.
So that's a great, yes. That's a great thing. So go through, if you've had a loved one pass and you're trying to make that difficult decision of what to do with some of their stuff. And I know that can go on for years, boxes of things you just don't want to part with because it's your mom's or whomever. But when you are ready to part with some of that, if you think it can be reused, give you guys a call and you'll try to either steer it towards yourself or another agency that can help out those in need.
Yep, absolutely.
It's fantastic. I'm going to give out some contact information. WaikikiHealth.org, very easy to use. Get there and you'll be able to learn a lot more about the various ways that they help out the community. 808-922-4787. We were talking about calling if you have a question about getting service or if you want to offer some help. You started, and I didn't hear more about it, you started to mention the on-site legal. You would have some legal for basic things, like recovering ID, that sort of thing. And I guess I was just curious, were you saying that if someone has a legal background and they wanted to volunteer, you could use their services or no?
I think it's possible.
Okay.
Right now, we're working on a contract with UH to have some of their lawyers and fellows come and provide some services. And so it's just a matter of, I think they could work with the groups that we have coming out. There's always a need.
So any kind of skill you're going to want to hear, give them a call and they can decide. And certainly taking care of your structures, 7 buildings, there's a lot of maintenance there. Do you need, if somebody's plumbers, they do work?
That would be fantastic.
Okay,
yes.
So skilled labor like that, you'd really be able to take a bite out of their bills, and then that's money that they don't have to spend working on their roof or whatever it is around the place. They can go into helping someone who's really in straits that make you realize how much you have.
But also medical personnel could help us work on some of our projects. You know, so we are, you know, trying to collect what we call social determinants of health, which is things like homelessness and inadequate food and not feeling safe and how that impacts your quality of life and your health. So people could help us with some of the data collection and things like that.
Okay. Well, there's another lot of ways people could volunteer their assistance. Information at WaikikiHealth.org if someone wanted to email about any of what we're talking about today.
Yeah, and if they just write Waikiki, you know, www.waikikihealth.org, that's your best bet.
Right, for the website. But I'm saying if you wanted to email you guys, information at WaikikiHealth.org.
They can. That will go to our marketing department and that they will disperse
sort out
it
who
with
it
us.
Goes to.
Yes, that would be great.
All their contact information, the radio feature, the full-length interview, and all of our previous Helping Hand guests all waiting for you at hawaiipublicradio.org. Anything else that we didn't cover that you want to get in?
I think it was pretty thorough. Thank you.
It is CEO Sheila Beckham, Waikiki Health, 7 locations, mobile mission as well. A lot of ways to volunteer, a lot of ways to support them, including April 22nd, 50th anniversary fundraising celebration, Hilton Hawaiian Village. You can already make reservations and tickets for yourself. Maybe you want to go with a group of folks, turn someone that you love who has a big heart on to their mission. Really appreciate getting to see you again, that you took the time to come down here. And on behalf of all the folks who really need a helping hand, that you're helping out. Thanks for doing what you do, Sheila.
Thank you. I love every day going to work with the people I work with.